broadcasting worldwide.
Refreshing takes on legal strategies.
Straightforward answers to difficult tax questions.
Independent ideas on building wealth. It's the Refresh Your Wealth Show with Mark Kohler and Matt Sorensen.
Get your free copy of Mark and Matt's ebooks and sign up for their weekly free newsletter with important tax deadlines and articles at refreshyourwealth.com.
Now, here's Mark and Matt.
Welcome, everyone, to the Refresh Your Wealth Show with Mark Kohler and Matt Sorensen. Excited to be with you today. I hope you've brought a thirst for information because we're about to refresh it with some amazing topics today. We're grateful to have you with us. There's a lot of ways you can listen to this show. You can find us at biztalkradio.com via the BizTalk Radio app. We're also on 14 AM stations nationwide, and you can always find our show on iTunes under the Refresh Your Wealth podcast. There's just like, you know, vending machines of this stuff. We got it out there everywhere.
Yeah, love it, Matt. Thanks. And I before we started the show, I had to grab my rock star because I want to be refreshed for the show. It's very important. We want to give high impact, high energy information. So yeah,
stay thirsty, my friends.
Yeah, very good. I like that. Well, and let's talk about the topic today. Let's just get it out there for many of you that are just catching the show on the radio there, wondering what this is about today. We want to grab your attention for our podcast listeners. Buckle up. We're excited to have you with us. We are going to be talking about multifamily, multi-unit real estate. Does it make sense in your portfolio? Why do some people feel it's the hottest segment in the real estate market? Does it make sense for everybody? We're going to bust it down, break it out, let everybody know what our take is. And we have an expert, a friend of ours named Johnny Dessauer, who will be joining us later on in the show, author of several books and a speaker nationwide. He's just a lot of fun to listen to. And so we're going to have Johnny jump on the show and give us his take on this. And we'll introduce him a little more fully later. But I think it's going to be a great show. Lots of good stuff.
Oh yeah, it's going to be refreshing, and I could use a rock star right now. Maybe that's why I keep going back to that, because I am thirsty. thanks for being with us. Before we get into that topic, though, as you know, we like to give some tax and legal tips. So I want to start off here with a legal tip.
A legal tip that you can actually use.
A legal tip where you don't feel like you have to take a shower after.
All right. Well, I've got a legal tip today about social media and posting information on social media. So for those of you young folks out there, some of you youngsters that like to put stuff on the line, on the Facebook and stuff and such, I got some tips for you about how to stay out of legal trouble.
Oh, yeah. Is this coming up because someone was defaming you over the weekend, Matt, on your social media? Is that what brought this all about?
No, this came up because I saw that 50 Cent, the rapper, has a $7 million judgment against him for posting inappropriate videos of other people on the web without their permission. Let's just say that. So be careful what you put out there and post, all right? That's one thing. Obviously you want to have consent of people before you're posting their images or videos of them. That is what sparked the idea, but I wanted to give a practical tip for those in the business world out there who are, and also for those of us as consumers, as we're posting stuff on the web, whether it's a review or even a testimonial or information, we have to make sure that that information is truthful and accurate. There are potential liabilities for, let's say on the one hand, you're a customer giving a review and you're really frustrated with the company and you give a review that goes too far. You're upset with them. They may have done something bad or provide you bad services or a bad product, but you really lay into them more than what you should have just because you're upset. So your emotions take over. Well, they can come back and sue you. And there's been hundreds, if not thousands, of cases of companies doing that against people who stretch the truth because they're really upset with the company.
Yeah, Matt, let me just add a quick example, too. It's interesting you bring this up. I had a consult with a client recently. I don't even want to state what area of the country. We want to be really careful about our client privileged information, but I had a client come up to me after one of my workshops on my tour this fall, and he had really defamed a property management company that he was just mad about, mm-hmm. that they weren't doing the job he thought they should have with his rental property. And he was beating the crap out of them on Facebook. And they filed a lawsuit, and they got a judgment because he just ignored the lawsuit too. Now, yeah. This is something we talked about a couple shows ago about what happens if you owe someone or someone's coming after you, what to do. But he just ignored it. He's like, this can't be for real. I'm just going to ignore this. Well, they went to court, and they got a judgment against him. Now they're going after him for all the collection costs and attorney fees, and the amount they originally got awarded is now tripled. And he's asking me, what should I do? I was like, first of all, quit saying crap about him on Facebook, because he was still defaming him. I'm like, dude, right. Chill out. And he's like, well, I said one word, settle. Just call him up on the phone and settle. And he got, and Matt, it was so funny because he goes, well, I was trying to settle with him, but then I said some crap about him on Facebook, so they won't talk to me anymore. I'm like, would you just get rid of this thing? And he's like, you got to let this go. Get your life back.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's bad. You know, what's so that, sad. That famous song from Frozen, just let it go. But, and I know some of you are thinking, hey man, First Amendment, I can say whatever I want. No, that's not actually true. You can say whatever you want. That's an opinion. But if you say something that harms someone's reputation or a business and it's not truthful, you can always say whatever you want if it's the truth. But the tricky part is, a lot of us, you know, you get to writing something online, whether it's a complaint or whatever, or on Facebook, and you're saying, I had a bad experience with this company, and you kind of go a little further than really what you're bent about, and that's where you run into trouble. So if you stick to the truth, that's always your defense, but just be careful when you're posting those negative reviews. And on the converse side, for those businesses providing flowery information on their website or social media, that needs to be accurate too, because you could be misrepresenting your own services or goods, and that can cause liability to you on the other end of things. So my tip today is, the truth will always protect you and set you free.
Whoosh, jeez, mantra to live by there. Thank you.
That was huge, right?
Little Zen moment. Yeah, thank you for that. That's good. Well, that's what we're all about here. We're trying to give a little bit more than tax and legal advice. Let's set you free. You
know, exactly.
Let's just take it to the next level. Good comment. Okay, well, now that Matt has just set a very high bar with our legal tip this week, I'm going to try to do the same with our tax tip. Here you go.
A tax tip you can actually understand and won't put you to sleep.
A tax tip that could save you thousands.
All right. Well, folks, are you ready for your refreshing tax tip? Now, I'm going to make a promise. Well, no, I can't promise this, but I was going to try. I hate to say that this tax tip does relate to health insurance and the Affordable Health Care Act, or AKA Obamacare. It's got to be a part of our tips this time of year. This is like tax season. It's insurance season. And so I know many of you may want to avoid this topic like the plague, but I know many, many of you are just putting this off thinking, oh, do I go Christmas shopping tonight, or do I get on healthcare.gov and do some insurance shopping? So let me give you a tip here on this. I wanted to talk about choosing the right type of health insurance plan. Now, this is an article in my blog, came out last week. It's got a lot of hits. I'd like for you to share it. Get on there. It's at markjkohler.com or kkoslawyers.com. Check out the blog section. And please share the article. It's really, really helpful. But here's a couple points that I want to make about choosing the right type of health insurance plan. And mind you, you're getting this unadulterated, honest, bipartisan advice, because I don't sell insurance. We just want to help you on your tax return, make sure that you're able to get the right write-offs down the road. So for what it's worth, you know, you're getting, again, an honest opinion here regarding health insurance. So here's the tip. First, if you're generally healthy, and many of you are paying for insurance you don't use, lean towards the higher deductible bronze type of policy. Now, for those that have been hiding under a rock for 3 years, there are these metal plans that range from platinum, gold, silver, bronze. You want to look at the bronze package. This is the type of plan that is going to be for the healthy, higher deductible, which will open the door to an HSA. Number two, if you're generally unhealthy, you want to probably lean towards an HMO or a platinum type plan. Let the insurance company take care of you. Get a policy, choose the a plan that's going to cover more of your healthcare if you think you're going to need it. Next point, be thinking about the network. A lot of people don't realize that the price is driven much, much more right now on the marketplace, state marketplace, federal marketplace, wherever you're shopping. The price is not as dependent upon the deductible level. It's based on the network. If you want a particular doctor, if you want a particular hospital, put that as a main priority, because that's really when it's going to drive your cost. The final point that I want to make here is just shop. Look around. Don't just get on the line. The websites are all functioning at hyper speeds now. Everything's working well. So, guys, it's the insurance shopping time. It's the holidays. Enjoy the two together, and don't procrastinate. All right, folks, we're going to be right back here with a little bit more of Refresh Your Wealth right after the break.
All right, well, welcome back, everyone, to the Refresh Your Wealth show with Mark Kohler and Matt Sorensen. Today's topic, we're going to be talking about multifamily real estate investments. We'll have Johnny Dessauer on later on in the segments today. But we want to go over our question of the week from last week. The question of the week last week was about estate planning. And the question was, can you be the trustee of your own revocable living trust? Can you be the trustee of your own revocable living trust? We had a couple answers come in that were correct. Mike Darcy wrote in with the correct answer of yes. Now, Mike already has copies of all of mine and Mark's books. He is, you know, he gets a
loyal follower.
Loyal follower, and he gets two thumbs up for already having copies of the book. So he said, don't worry about the books for me. So next in was Kelly Springer, who wrote in with also a correct answer of yes, you can be the trustee of your own revocable living trust. So Kelly will win a copy of either Mark's newest book, The Tax and Legal Playbook, or my book, The Self-Directed IRA Handbook. Kelly will reach out to you to see which book you choose, and choose wisely.
Yes, this could impact your retirement and for the rest of your life and what your kids ultimately receive and whether your grandkids going to go to college or not. So this choice that you're going to make just in the next few minutes could change the dynasty of your entire family. So, wow.
Right.
The impact the show has on people's lives. Now, let's talk about this question from last week. Can you be the trustee of your own trust? Folks, this is a really common question we get with clients. And, Matt, is it okay? I just want to talk about it for a second.
Yeah.
This is important.
I think you're going to get on the soapbox here.
Yeah, you can feel it. You can feel it coming. Well, here's the thing. I just had a phone call with a client this morning, single guy. He's got a couple kids. And he's like, Mark, I don't even have a will. And we were like, all right, we got to solve that problem. So I know many, many of you listening, married, single, same-sex marriages, no kids, no family, whatever it is, you have got to be thinking about all of this wealth and hard work you're doing and these things you're building, and where's it going to go? And the trust is a great way to do it. So you, while you're alive, can be the trustee of your own trust and then appoint someone to be your backup trustee when you're gone. So you can make control the checkbook. You don't need to file a separate tax return. Guys, if you're thinking of what you're going to do with your New Year's resolutions and what would be a good thing to tackle, how about that estate plan? Get that trust done. And you can be your own trustee. Matt, there you go. Just wanted to bring it full circle from our question last week.
I like that. And you know what? It's also a good time around the holidays when you're with your family, maybe your parents, to ask them, hey, mom and dad, do you guys have a trust? Do you have your estate plan figured out? Because I don't want to deal with this mess. You know, if you pass away without an estate plan, let's, you know, get that taken care of. I think a lot of times it may seem awkward, but I had to do it to my own parents. I'm like, guys, I've been a lawyer for like 10 years now. Can we get your estate plan done? So, and this was, you know, maybe 5 years ago actually, but sometimes it takes, you know, some prodding from the kids to get the parents to get their estate plan done.
Well, I think it's just they basically trust you now. That was the problem. It's they were waiting for you to really, you know, blossom as an attorney. And then they decided to hire you. But now here's another tip. While you're around at Christmas time, this is a good time to take out a roll of masking tape, go around the house and start putting your name on items and put the tape underneath dishes, furniture, because if mom and dad go, you want to be first in line. So get a jump on those kids. Yeah. big. That's a big deal.
See the strategies here. Oh my gosh, we're changing lives. All right. Well, that's a. Well, we have a question for the upcoming week, though. We're going to switch gears away from estate planning. But Mark, we got a tax question. Now, this is a tricky one because the rules have changed over the last few years. If you haven't been paying attention to the tax reform that's happened and the tax rule changes, you want to pay attention. This question is going to get to it, Mark.
Yeah, this is good. And so let's talk about capital gains. Now, this is a question that came up because Matt and I are literally sick and tired of every tax tip that's promulgated out of Wall Street in the mainstream news is that, okay, number one tax tip this year, put money in your IRA or go to your company plan and make a match or a contribution or blah. And then, by the way, harvest those stocks. That's the only tips they got, folks. It's ridiculous. Mm-hmm. Speaking of which, you need to check out my article this week on 10 year-end tips that actually make sense and save you money. So it's a little shameless plug there. But here's the deal. Harvesting stock losses, selling real estate, all of these little things trigger what's called the capital gains tax. And as Matt alluded to there, these rates have been all over the board, 0 to 15% to even higher. And so the question is this week, what is the maximum capital gains tax rate that you could pay when you sell stock or real estate? What is the maximum capital gains rate? So,
and this is long term.
Yeah, long term capital gains. Oh, thank you, Matt. Very good point. Yeah. So,
thank you.
Long term capital gains. Now you can send your answer to either Matt at MAT at KKOSLawyers.com, Matt Sorensen, MAT at KKOSLawyers.com, or Mark MARK at KKOSLawyers.com. Send us the answer to your question, and have the chance to win a copy of our book that could change your life. And the first response will be our winner this week. Unless you already have our books, then we'll defer to option two like we did. So we want to make sure we give away a book to someone. So folks, rush to your computers right now and send us in your answer. We'd love to give away a book.
All right. Well, let's dive into the topic today and at least introduce it. Mark and I want to give some preliminary thoughts, and then we'll bring in our expert and we'll just, you know, let him pontificate. He's got far more knowledge than Mark or I. So we're going to be talking today about multifamily real estate. And I think a lot of our listeners are real estate investors, and you may be buying single family rentals. Maybe you're already in multifamily investments and you want to know some tips or strategies, or where should you be buying? What are great multifamily markets? We're going to try and hit those with Johnny D. as we go through the interview with him today. But I just want to give a quick perspective into this from my point of view, which is from my perspective, I see a lot of successful real estate investors that are clients of mine that do different things. Mm-hmm. And I can have a client that's great at fixing and flipping properties. I have clients that have tens and hundreds of single family rentals. I have clients that have multifamily apartment buildings and numerous markets throughout the country, and all of them have success, but they really get to understand the specific strategy and markets for each thing they're doing. And so if you're thinking, oh, I don't want to go into multifamily, keep your mind open. I want you to think about this and consider it. I'm not saying do it, but learn about it and learn how you could maybe master that topic to find it as a successful investment strategy.
Yeah, and another perspective to add is that if Matt said earlier that a lot of our listeners and followers invest in real estate. Folks, I want to make it more broader than that. If you're trying to build wealth, if you should be considering real estate in your portfolio. And so maybe for some of you listening today, you don't want that little single family home, pain in the rear type of rental. Maybe it's more in your wheelhouse to have a multifamily location, a multi-unit location where it's an 8-plex, a 16-plex, something where you have on-site management, and it's maybe less headache for you to have more doors involved. So not only should you be constantly learning about the different avenues of real estate, I think it's important to realize there might be an aspect of real estate that better fits you than that little single family home rental down the street. So join us here right back in a moment when we bring on our expert, Johnny Dessauer, to talk about multi-unit property and how it could benefit you. Catch you after the break.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Refresh Your Wealth Show with Mark Kohler and Matt Sorensen. We are going to dive into the topic of multifamily property investing. We have our special guest on with us now, and I'm going to turn it over to Mark to introduce our special guest today.
Oh, yeah. Well, thank you for letting me introduce him. I kind of have a man crush on this guy, and I've been a huge fan of his for years. 13 years ago, this man called Johnny Dessauer came out of the scene nationally as an expert in multifamily property, and he's written several books over the years, The Alchemy of Wealth, Real Estate H2O, in his newest book out. We're excited about this, Apartment Confidential. And I got to tell you, the cover is a little racy. I kind of want to dive into this book. I'm a little nervous.
Are there pictures?
Well, I don't know. We're going to find out. So this is looks good. But Johnny has been speaking around the country for years as an expert on apartments, how to analyze markets, neighborhoods, property classes, arts of negotiating. He's got a fantastic blog. He's out and about right now speaking on the West Coast. We're excited. He's a native of the Florida area. And so I was going to choose a football team to align him with, but I'll let him do that. But we're just excited to have Johnny here with us. So welcome to the show, Johnny.
Guys, thanks for having me. It's been a while, and I appreciate you having me on.
Oh, it's an honor. And we've got a number of questions for you. First of all, as we go to your site, I'm sure you'll share your website here with our listeners a little later. But boy, our first question of you is, we look at this homepage and how awesome you look. How do you keep looking so great? What's your secret there to your success, man? You look fantastic right now.
Well, first of all, Mark and Matt, you both know it's genetics. I mean, look at that thing.
I'm glad you said that.
Yeah.
If you would have said kale or something like that, I was like, I'm not doing it. I'm not eating kale. It's not worth it.
I still don't get the kale thing, but I don't know. It's having a 16-month-year-old at home. That's what keeps you looking young, probably.
Yeah, that's what it does. I'm glad it's very positive.
For sure. So.
Well.
All right. Well, let's just dive into this topic, Johnny. And what I want to just ask you, what do you tell someone who comes to you and says, hey, you know, maybe I've invested in real estate before, but I want to get into multifamily property. I want to get to the big time. You know, I think everybody thinks, I got to go big, got to go multifamily. What's your advice you want to give to that person looking to go into multifamily real estate investing for the first time? What do they need to know?
Well, here's the thing, and I'm glad you asked that question. The thing is, you know, if you like rental units and you see the power in the idea of this nation becoming a nation of renters rather than a nation of homeowners, you understand that if you can get the supply and the demand is outpacing that supply, you'll do pretty good. So if you like the single family house rental scenario, I attribute it to if you like grapes, you don't go to the grocery store and buy a grape, right? You buy bunches of grapes. So that's the first thing. Make the commitment to get educated in multifamily investing. That's really the first key, is to understand and know what you're doing and make the commitment to move forward. I would say the second thing is start building your team. Make sure that you're dealing with the absolute best real estate agents and brokers, obviously the best real estate attorneys to have that legal knowledge, such as you guys, accountants, CPAs, property managers, insurance people. Your team is going to be the second, but a close second to first scenario that you're going to have to do. If you can do those two things, you'll be in good shape.
Well, I love it. Sage wisdom there. I like that grape analogy. And you know, I'm going to just throw it out here now, because it was one of the things that really impacted me the most when I sat in one of your workshops and milled around the back eating, you know, snacks, just trying to find out what this class was all about. And I found myself wanting to sit down and just take crazy notes. I was so impressed. I'm going to throw this out. And then, Johnny, correct me if I point out this strategy incorrectly. So I'm going to give it my best shot. What I thought was so fascinating about multifamily is that, first, appraisals and the value of a multifamily is not always based on comps in the area, like a single family home. It's based on the cash flow. And the cash flow of a multifamily unit property is critical in determining the value if you want to sell it or flip it, or what's your ROI and this cap rate. It's just a different terminology. When I sat down and I heard your workshop, I always thought that was interesting that we have to look at the value of multifamilies very differently. And then the flip side of that that just blew it wide open for me is how you could find a multifamily unit property and just tweak the cash flow with minor improvements, whether it's getting a better deal on garbage removal, a better deal with utilities, a better deal with landscaping, or just some sort of expense that has an exponential impact on the valuation. So if you could create an extra $1,000 a year in cash flow, or $1,000 a month in cash flow, that ended up having almost a multiple effect on the value. So now, and I probably butchered that, but can you tell us how different that is and that power of multifamily compared to just a single family rental when it comes to valuation?
Yeah, great question. The single family house world operates off of the premise of almost emotion. Sales comparisons are what is used in understanding value on the single family house side. So if you want to change the value of the single family house that you own, let's say it's a three bedroom, two bath house, you're going to have to change what that subject property is being compared to. And hopefully you're changing it to properties, comparing it to properties that have, you know, a little bit better amenities, maybe some square foot adage, bathrooms, kitchens, curb appeal, things like that. When you start to get into multifamily units, specifically five and over, you've got to start thinking of that income side of the world. You see, single family houses were originally never geared to be an investment instrument. The apartment buildings, let's say it's a 12-unit apartment building, that was and always has been geared to be an investment for somebody. So it's appraised based on how well it performs financially, its net operating income. So one of the key things, and this falls under the education point that I made earlier, is you've got to treat the multifamily unit investing very much like a business. You've got to watch your operational income come in. Those are things like rents and laundry, any fees like late fees or application fees. And you subtract out your operational expenses, things like taxes, insurance, maintenance, management, utilities, things like that. And what you're left with, the product, is net operating income. So when people talk about the valuation of apartment buildings, that's one of the components that we're going to look at, is how strong or weak that net operating income is. And there's one other part of the story to that. And that's a term called capitalization rate. And people call it cap rate for short. But what cap rate is really the relationship between the net operating income of a property and what the sales price of a property is. It's that relationship. When we talk about formulas and ratios, I'd rather have people think about relationships. And you know, Mark and Matt and myself, we're all pros at relationships. So, you know, let's just use that label. But you use those two components, NOI and cap rate, and that's a lot different than the sales comparison approach you would use on single family.
Now, I think a lot of people have gone into multifamily or have looked at it in the last 10 years, and this has just been my experience. Would you say that it's a lot more competitive now? I think a lot of people from the investor side coming in who think, all right, I want to pick up a little apartment building, do some value add stuff to it, get back out in a couple of years and sell it as just a real estate investment strategy. Has that gotten more competitive over the last 10 years? And if so, what should, you know, real estate investors be doing, if you agree with that, to try and combat that competitiveness? How do you go out there to be making money if you're in that real estate investor mindset of adding value to make profit and gains?
Yeah, so quickly the answer is this. If you have a market where there's a lot of competitors, I think you can make the assumption, just like in business, where you've got a market with a lot of businesses, but not all owners are run their apartment building in a business-like manner. So they may not be managing that NOI as well as they should. So even though there's a lot of competitors maybe in your marketplace, there's not a lot of quality investors, and that's where your opportunity is.
Okay, now, Johnny, we're going to ask you to just come back right after the break for just a moment, a couple more questions, and have you tell everybody how to get more information from you and your upcoming workshop, if that's okay. So, folks, stick with us. We'll be back just in a couple moments with Johnny Dessauer and Refresh Your Wealth. All right, folks, welcome back to Refresh Your Wealth with Mark Kohler and Matt Sorensen. Rocking the house with just good tax, legal, and wealth-building strategies. We're here with Johnny Dessauer, not only the good-looking, the intelligent, but I hear he can sing too, folks. He's a triple threat. We're so excited to have him here with us on the show. We just love this guy, and he's got a busy, busy schedule. So we've been talking about multifamily properties. And so, Johnny, we just had a couple questions for you. And then we'll I want to hear about this new pirate event that's coming up. I love this image you got on your website about this upcoming event too. So, but first, I think a lot of clients of mine, they get started in single family home rentals, and they see getting into multifamily as a really big hurdle. They got to have a lot of capital. They got to have a lot of money as a big barrier to entry. What's your comments for those people?
Idea of being creative on the multifamily side of the world is very prevalent. As a matter of fact, it's more prevalent than on the residential side of the world when you're dealing a lot with single-family houses. So one of the reasons that is because typically you're buying from an investor. So when you're talking about things like subject to or lease option purchases or things like seller financing, your education curve with the seller is not nearly as long. And then on the financing side, you've got lenders that are a little bit more used to dealing in creative investing situations. So I think it's an overall great benefit to the apartment side of investing that you just don't get a lot when you're investing in single family houses. So you don't need a lot of money. You just need a lot of knowledge, and I think applying that knowledge correctly is really the key.
Johnny, we're going to hit kind of some rapid fire questions here, so I'm going to give you a quick one, which is, where would you recommend clients look for multifamily deals? Where are the great markets right now in multifamily? I know everyone can kind of, you know, be an expert in their local market, but let's say, you know, you're in Phoenix, where I'm at, and it's very competitive in the multifamily market. You don't feel like you can corner it very well for whatever reason. Where should you be looking? What are the good markets?
So, Matt, another good question. I think I typically advise people to look at what I call tertiary markets today. So a primary market would be Miami, Las Vegas, Phoenix, Orange County here in California. A secondary market would be markets like Charlotte, North Carolina, Jacksonville, Florida, Austin, Texas, things like that. The tertiary markets today, the Des Moines, Iowas, the Boise, Idahos, the Peoria, Illinois, those are where you're going to find a lot of opportunity with not as much competition. So that's where I'm directing people today.
I like it. Places I'd like to live, too. So, Johnny, you are rocking it. I love it. Now, real quick, I just wanted you to highlight your website and tell us about this Key West Pirate Real Estate Workshop you're doing. It looks pretty freaking awesome.
Well, you know, I'm always wanted to be a pirate, so that's number one. So our website, Real Wise Real Estate, where you can get the information, realwiserealestate.com. But the pirate event starts this Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday. We do this event every year. It's a great way to let your pirate self out, but yet wrap that theme around real estate. The very thing that made great pirates, minusing the pillaging and plundering, is really good business actions. And that really helps real estate investors if you kind of mirror that. They didn't have a lot of instruction. They took risk. They had to trust in others and things like that. What made up a good pirate makes a good real estate investor. And that's what these next 3 days or those 3 days of the event are all about. December 13th through the 15th in beautiful Key West, Florida.
All right. Now, what's the where do people go? What's the website where people can get more info or register?
Yeah. So I will let all of your listeners, as long as we don't run out of space here, if they want to come to Key West, Florida on Saturday and Sunday and get to the event, they can come for absolutely free. It's going to be a great event. We've already got a pretty packed house, and we're doing some great exercises that will help any real estate investor with their investing. But if they go to realwiserealestate.com, it'll direct them right at the top what to do.
All right, and pirates and eye patches are allowed, just making sure.
And hooks and...
parrots, okay.
Planks, whatever, yeah.
I love it. Johnny, thanks so much for finding some time to be with us. We know you broke away from a workshop here in Orange County. We wish you the best and happy holidays.
Thanks, guys. Happy holidays to you, and thanks for having me on.
Oh, thank you. Well, Matt, I love this. Good stuff. Great topic, and always more to learn. And I recommend everybody get to Johnny's website and check out his books. Lots of good reading. Now, Matt, a 5-star review. Do we have something?
Yeah, we kind of made the plea for some 5-star review on iTunes. iTunes is a great place to go to listen to prior shows of Refresh Your Wealth. We had a number come in over the last couple of weeks, so I'm going to read one. This is from M. Madarsi. I don't know. Some of these handles are hard to understand the names, but the review says truly life-changing, 5 stars. Many people get into business because they know the work of their business and they want to grow their wealth. This podcast gives you the real knowledge and understanding to organize and run your business for the maximum benefit to you and help you succeed in your wealth building and security for you and your family. Mark and Matt deliver the podcast in an entertaining and fun way while making taxes and legal situations easy to understand. I have adopted many of their methods, and it's truly changed my life. Thanks, guys.
Ooh, I love it. And M.A. Marina, sorry, whatever that handle is, say it one more time, Matt.
M-A-D-A-R-C-A-Y, I don't know.
Madarsi. Please send us an email, and we'll send you a copy of one of our books as a thank you for that 5-star review. Just one last plug here. This Saturday, the 12th, is my virtual workshop broadcast live out of Orange County for 6 full hours of tax and legal updates and education. $99. I think you guys will love it. But great other show with my co-host, Matt Sorensen, the man, the myth, the legend. Thank you, everybody, for listening. We'll see you in another week here, and we've got some great topics before you're in. So enjoy the holidays, and keep living the dream.
Thanks for listening to another hour of refreshing strategies to better live your American dream.
Don't forget to get your free copy of Mark and Matt's ebooks and sign up for their weekly free newsletter with important tax deadlines and articles at refreshyourwealth.com.